Good morning. You're on TalkBack.
Hello there.
Hello.
Ah, greetings. I just wanted to call in and praise our local Fort Security Officer, Lance Walton, for his good attitude, actually, in the recent trials of various liberty activists.
And who is this again? Tell us again who this is.
Oh, Lance Walton.
Okay, I don't know who he is.
He works at the King District Court in downtown.
Oh, okay. All right. And he did what?
He just treats everyone with a remarkably nice attitude, considering considering the nature of his job. He has a very nice attitude.
Right. Mm-hmm. Oh, that's good.
Even chats with people that one might consider his opponents with about the various common interests that they have.
Mm-hmm. Okay. What the liberty activists were out filming at the high school on the ground, right where the parking lot joins the sidewalk on Arch Street. What were they doing?
Oh, I understood that they were handing out compact discs of the local radio show. Well, it's nationally syndicated, but locally broadcast radio show, Free Talk Live.
Oh, they had a camera going. That was all I. That was when I went down. I saw. Oh, look, there they are, and. That I kept on going, that I just wondered what they were doing. And so if they were taking pictures of speeding cars or something, and I immediately looked down at my speedometer to make sure I wasn't. So.
Oh. Good idea, I suppose.
Yeah, all right. Well, thank you very much for calling.
You're welcome.
Do you have any thoughts on Pumpkin Fest?
Oh, well, I look forward to going to it. Actually, you know, speaking of liberty activists, I've heard that they have a... organization or a festival of their own, that is, Free King Fest or something like that. I guess I'd like to say that I'd be interested in seeing that happen again, kind of to coincide with Pumpkin Fest. That might be fun.
Well, you couldn't do it on the same time because the space...
You wouldn't have room, all, I wouldn't think, but...
It's all reserved, right?
Yes.
They did one in Keene. I know they had the Porcupine Festival north of here, but did they have
That's
a...
True.
They had one here in Keene?
Yes, there's. I haven't actually been to one, but I understand that they're just kind of like a bazaar or whatever, where they have those booths and all of that, and just kind of a downtown get together and such.
Oh, okay. All right. Well. So you are looking forward to going to Pumpkin Fest?
Yes, I am.
Okay. Well, we'll see you there. Okay. Thank you. Good morning. You're on TalkBack.
Good morning. How are you all?
I'm fine, thanks. How are you?
God's peace to you. Very well, thank you. I must point out that you must not agree with your own government's policies on speed regulations.
What does that mean?
Well, you had to check your speed when you saw the, I guess it was Sam recording, is that right?
Well, I was in a 20-mile-an-hour zone, and I just wanted to make sure I was... doing 20.
Oh, we all have our excuses.
Right,
don't worry.
Right. I have more if you'd like them.
I've got my own litany of all my excuses as well, but I don't particularly subscribe. I know it's all about revenue generation. As far as all the master plan is concerned, it sounds like more regulations to me. It sounds pretty Orwellian, actually, and I think it's a long sales pitch for what you're doing is just making a long sales pitch to the people here so that they'll swallow this master plan. I really don't know. I haven't looked at it, but things like workforce housing kind of scares me. It makes me think of, is this concentration camp for workers?
No.
Oh, I don't know. I haven't looked into it, but I just
that's just the bad name for it.
Yeah, I probably workforce housing, sort of like elderly housing, which sounds like a very old building.
It's talking about the cost of how much it would... That people who are making
average workforce can afford to live there.
So it's really about the economics of it. Not
who pays for the housing?
The people.
What people?
Oh,
well,
whoever's building it.
Who's ever building? I mean, the people that are.
Venture. It's a voluntary venture. It's not something that's forced by the by.
Oh no!
Fair money and.
No. If you're only making, I don't know what the top. Say you're making less than $40,000, and you need a place to stay, you buy this house or rent this apartment. So
right.
So that's what workforce housing.
That you can afford on $40,000 a year.
Sounds like more government programs that will fail eventually, and that's okay because the economy continues to get worse.
This is for the people that fall between what the government will help with and what people can afford.
Well, I think that if it was a truly democratic, as you claim to be, as a system, they'll do away with the master plan, because most of the people who would, who could care less about, what plans lay under the seat of others, especially government. And as far as subconfess is concerned, I don't want to take up too much time this morning. I would like to see, as far as police, I wouldn't necessarily like to see more police, but I sure would like to see more armed citizens. That would be fantastic. I always feel safe when I see people with firearms.
Really?
So that I'll definitely hop off the air and wish you a wonderful day and God's peace again.
Thank you, and I will just sit here silently contemplating that.
Trust me, you don't want to see me with a firearm.
Me either. I couldn't hit the broadside of a barn. Good morning, you're on TalkBack.
Good morning, ladies. It's Sam from FreeKeen.com. How are
you? Hi, Sam.
You were taking pictures up by the high school.
That was me, yeah. I bought a new camera, and I was just testing out some of the features, make sure I wanted to keep it. But, hey, Cynthia, if the camera made you slow down, maybe we should put them on every street corner like they do in Great Britain.
No. It didn't make me slow down. It just made me look to make sure I wasn't speeding.
It made you check to make sure you weren't breaking the law. And,
right.
And, Great Britain has installed millions of cameras, and now they're even putting them in the homes of troubled parents that the government has determined, they're a risk of not putting their children to bed on time, so they have cameras in their living room that are monitored by the state. It's kind of scary where
all this
goes. I was
going to say, does that scare you?
It does. Yeah. And the same thing's happening here. It's a gradual process. In New York, there are cameras everywhere. So
they're not going to put cameras in my house to see what I do.
So let's hope
behind
not.
Closed drapes.
I wanted to talk about the cannabis issue. Paula, you had mentioned that marijuana causes cancer.
The delivery system. In terms of smoking, the same with cigarettes. In terms of when you're burning, it's the burning chemical reaction. It's not the marijuana
itself. Exactly.
So, yeah,
I just wanted to expand on that a little bit.
Yeah.
When you smoke it, it creates over, I think, 111 chemicals are toxic. But when you vaporize it and use some of the medical vaporizers and things that are available out there, it's 95% THC, 4% CBN, another cannabinoid, and then 1% or less of the bad stuff, benzene, and some of the other things that come into play.
And plus, when you inhale any drug, it's a faster delivery service in terms of the pain of what you want it to do, because that's the fastest route to the brain and the pain centers.
Yes. And studies have shown that
the two drug experts here. I'm just talking from books, and I'm sure you are, Sam, too, right?
No, I'm talking from direct experience.
I'm one of those people that, I get very easily affected by drugs, so I don't use them.
Not me. So
law of relativity, you picked up where I left off, yeah.
You guys have got me flustered for once.
Oh, good.
When you use cannabis and deliver it properly, it actually helps kill cancer, and it opens new pathways in the brain. I think there's studies on both of those. And that's all I wanted to say about that.
Well, Dr. Johnson, thank you.
Well, the other thing, Sam, is a lot of times people with mental illness, schizophrenia, like to smoke. And again, it's not so much, the concern is about the delivery system in terms of dealing with some of the thought disorder.
I think, if the delivery system, people would probably migrate to using vaporizers and the more safer alternatives. But in place of the current war on drugs, if you get caught with a vaporizer in your car or something, that's an additional charge. So the police are actually pushing through because of the laws, they're actually pushing driving behavior to be less safe, to use, a joint that's rolled up in a piece of paper that they could swallow or throw away, because they're afraid of getting these.
Well, how do you feel about people driving or operating any kind of vehicle, whether it be a train or boat, or under the influence? I mean, the idea of using THC is it does change your perception and your reaction time. So how do you feel about that someone would use, whether they're in the car or out of the car, and then get into a car? Don't you feel less safe because you're not going to be able to react? Because that's the reason people use these drugs, is the kind of reaction they get from it.
Well, in some effects, yeah. And when new users, when they're using a drug like cannabis, I don't think they should be driving because it is impairing and so forth. But once people settle in, I've played video games online where, you know, they're based on reaction time. It's a first-person shooter where you're running around competing with other people when I'm sitting there smoking and high, and I come in first place. So if they're
slowing
reaction time, I'm not seeing it.
But that's true with professional athletes in terms of analogy, that even those that are drug addicted or alcoholic are going to play much better than you or I.
I don't know about alcoholics.
But what my point is, Sam, you may be just a better person. Your reaction may be better than most people anyway. So I would say compete with yourself. In other words, whatever your time is, the influence, then compare it to your time, your reaction time. You may still be the best even under the influence.
That makes a good point. And I think the effective way to handle it would be to not have all of these laws against drunk driving, against driving under the influence, against, you know, whatever, but have laws against people, you know, driving unsafe when they're actually causing harm or just about to cause harm. You know, when they are creating a hazard for other people in the community, that's when something can be done. And I think that would be a far more effective policy than trying to apply a standard that clearly, as you say, is not going to be the same for each individual user.
Mm-hmm. But you don't know that until after the fact. And I'm getting signals. We have another call. They're frantically gesturing here. Okay.
Thank you, ladies.
All right, thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye now. 357-1290. Good morning. You're on TalkBack.
Thank you, ladies.
All right,
thank you.
Hello. Hello. Turn your radio down.
Hello.
Hi, turn your radio down.
Yeah, I just wanted to say, in terms of the person who called a little while ago about his love of guns, I have an interesting article here called by a man named John Whitehead, who is the head of a constitutional group called the Rutherford Institute, in which he's always on the outlook for civil rights being abused. But in both parties, in fact, the very name of the article, Not Every Scary Bush Policy Can Be Undone by Obama. But there's just a few lines I'd like to read. Police officers are out of control. Take, for instance, the 40,000-plus no-knock raids conducted annually by police across the United States dressed like military troops. Doors are rammed down, and innocent American citizens are often terrorized and sometimes even killed. And unknown by many, the local police are being provided with specialized equipment from the government in order to collect data for federal intelligence agencies. This essentially means that the local police may eventually become extensions of agencies such as the CIA and the FBI. Now, I cite that because I use that in some sense to justify my own keeping of a gun. I'm one of these liberals who happens to love the Second Amendment. And I have a gun, and I know how to use it, and I do target practice to maintain my knowing how to use it. I have a gun, but I despise the NRA, and I despise the extremes that they go to. And I just want to say this. Bill Siemens has been writing in the Sentinel now pretty continuously about the possibility of guns and hate-filled radio and what they do. And the last time a real gunman who was a real fanatic and who took himself and his ideas a little too seriously and came too close to a president was 46 years ago when Jack Kennedy was killed. And we know the trauma that caused this nation, from which I don't think it's ever recovered. So I just want to add, when I saw, given the combination of hate radio and given the combination of the right-wing rent-a-mob characteristics that had been going on all this summer, and when I, for the first time in my life, I openly saw a man with a gun in the presence of the President of the United States in Portsmouth, New Hampshire. And again a few days later out in, I believe it was Arizona. I tell you, as an American citizen and as one who believes in every one of the 10 amendments known as the Bill of Rights, I felt soiled. I felt disgusted. I felt un-American. I felt I didn't want to live in this country any longer. these freaks who appear when the President of the United States comes out with a gun should have something done to them. I don't know what it is, but they should have something done to them. We all must remember that when Ronald Reagan, the grand communicator, first ran for the presidency of the United States, where did he appear? He appeared in Philadelphia, Mississippi, the very home of the segregationists, the very home of Jim Crow. The modern Republican Party has been built upon racism, though it's never discussed openly. And you combine that racism and its allied hatred, and you get men in front of the President of the United States. It never happened under Bush, never happened under Clinton, never happened under Reagan. But this is a black man in the White House.
Well, caller, two things. The person in Portsmouth really wasn't there because it was Obama there. It was part of that, I think, the same group that we've been seeing here in Keene, of just showing that they have the right to carry a gun. So I think it could have been anybody there. I don't think it was directly related. And there was an interview with Chris Matthews right after where he was fairly articulate. And I don't own a gun. I have a lot of concerns about people with guns. But so that's the first point I want to make. And Reagan did get shot. I mean, that's how we got the Brady Bill.
That's right. So
it's not just... I mean, there may be racism in some of these crowds that are against anything Obama would do, but I think it's not accurate to say that. And Ford's was actually, I think, Squeaky Fromm tried to kill Ford.
That's
and,
right.
And I think he was rescued by, believe it or not, a gay military guy that was later discharged, or he had retired, which is another whole issue. But so...
No good deed goes unpunished.
I think the guns, there's something about the Second Amendment, but we're not back in colonial times where it made sense.
Yeah.
And the Constitution never contemplated AK-47s.
This was just unbelievable, and to me, it was not to see a man with an AK, an assault weapon, in the presence or even near the President of the United States.
Right.
I mean, these people are cleared away before the President comes in. The President is the only one person in this country, whether you like him or you don't, or like her or you don't, who speaks for us all.
Mm-hmm.
And
right.
Anyone who is in front of him, anywhere within boundaries of with an AK-47, it makes me sick to be an American.
And actually, the person out in Arizona was a gag from a radio station who was... So, although I agree with your premise, I have to agree with some of your direct links to some of the stuff you said.
But thanks for calling.
We'll argue next week.
It was a gag, but it was not a very...
No, it wasn't. No, it's disgusting.
Thank you very much.
Bye-bye. And so there are right now two contested seats in the wards. Ward 1 and Ward 5 has... There's the incumbent that's running plus one contender. And there are seven people running for five at-large seats, which just, I mean, it seems like there ought to be more than that.
Right.
And there are also two people running for mayor. And it just seems like there ought to be more. We keep hearing rumors about people, but...
Well, and it's $2 for a city council seat.
And $5 for mayor.
And $5 for mayor. But if people miss Monday's deadline, if you can get 50 people to sign a petition, you can get on by the October... What's the date of
it? No, I think it's by September 11th, I believe.
Right. And the primary is October... First Tuesday in October.
The 6th. I don't know, whatever that is. But
right.
Anyway, I think it's the 6th, but I could be wrong. And but anyway, so if you are thinking about running, this would be a good time to get out there. If you've ever wondered what it would be like to be a city councilor, you can find out by running.
I'm laughing because they'll be afraid they'll turn into you or I.
But
this is what happens to you when you serve the government.
That's true. The only thing I can say is I love it. I just love it.
Now, you had stepped out for a while.
I was on for 12 years, and I was off for 4, and I've been back on now for 6.
Did you step out and feel like when you decided to step out that that was it for you in the sense of you needed a break? I know you had run... for mayor. Was that when you decided to step out for a while?
I ran for mayor. But right. When I went in as a candidate for mayor, I thought, well, if I don't win, it's not like I had decided not to run for city council again.
So what made you come back after that 4-year gap?
I missed it.
Oh, so
I missed it. And one of the things is when you're on the outside and you see, you hear about things that are going on in City Hall, one of the things that stands out the most for me was while I was on hiatus, if you will, they purchased 350 Marlboro Street.
Yes.
And I thought it was a terrible idea. I couldn't figure out how 15 councilors could vote for that. It was a unanimous vote.
Yep.
And I just thought that was a terrible idea. And I thought, there's something I don't know. I mean, there's something that's been talked about at the committees or somewhere that I don't know about.
Mm-hmm.
But by golly, I want to be back in because I want to know why.
You want to make dumb decisions,
yeah,
too.
I want to know why this happened.
Yeah.
Good morning, you're on TalkBack.
Good morning, it's Ian from FreeKeen.com.
Good morning.
Hi, Ian.
Hello, how are you?
How's the campaign going?
Well, not so good. Haven't you heard?
No.
Well, I went down to the city yesterday because they were threatening to remove me from the voters' rolls. And they had demanded that I come and fill out a domicile affidavit. So I'd gone down to administer that. And basically, what they're saying is that even though a homeless person can register to vote and put down that they live by the Ashuelot River, mm-hmm. something like that, you know, their general geographic location,
mm-hmm.
homeless people get that privilege. But because I actually have a home somewhere in Keene, they are demanding to know exactly where it is. So even though, you know, there are records that show who owns my home and all that, that's not with their office, I guess. So they're demanding that I put that information down because what I put down was my mailing address, which is the UPS store on the circle.
Right, right. You have to, in terms of being qualified to be a city councilor or mayor, you have to have a specific address where you're actually living. That happened to one of the councilors. He moved, and he moved out of the...
Two of them.
That's not as I understood it. That's what they were trying to assert, but when I looked at your rules, the statutes, it said that a domicile could also be a place that you return to after a temporary absence. So it would seem that the mailbox will qualify. But I'd gone in there to certify, to, you know, fill out this domicile affidavit, to basically say that, yes, I do live in Ward 4 in Keene.
Mm-hmm.
And I figured that should be enough.
Right.
In fact, on the form that you have to fill out, it says street ward number, so I filled that out, and I told Patty that I'd give her my street name. I'd go that far, and she said that wasn't good enough. I had to put the actual house number down, and I said, well, I don't see that in the rules here. It doesn't seem to be required. I mean, if a bum who's living by the river can just put down that he's living by the river, why can't I just certify that I live somewhere in Ward 4?
Well, to use your language, the bum wouldn't be able to be a city councilor unless the bum had a...
That's not true. That's not true at all. If you are registered to vote, you can be on the ballot. So they'll allow a homeless person to register to vote with a general kind of vicinity of where he lives. But me, they're not going to let me do that. So I had told her, all right, fine. You know what? I asked her, how many people are running for mayor? She said, so far, just you and Dale. And I said, you know, I feel obligated because I want to give the Keene voters a choice to actually vote for nobody. As you know, I was running with the nickname of Nobody, you know, to actually give them that choice for the very first time. And I said, you know, I feel like I'm obligated to do this, Patty. Here's what I'll do. I'll put down my actual street address if you'll just verify that you'll allow my nickname to go on the ballot. And she was reticent to even discuss that issue with me, but I managed to get her to admit that, no, they weren't going to allow my nickname on the ballot. So, you know, even if I'd had that nickname for 5 years, they would still claim it was a slogan and disallow it from the ballot. So this is what happens when someone, from my perspective, tries to use the system.
I don't know if that's...
It gets kicked right out of the entire operation.
Well, Patty would know the rules better than
right.
I, but I don't know if that's accurate, but...
I was going to say,
because didn't Arne Arneson run under...
Didn't Clinton run under Bill?
It's in quotes.
What, yeah. What did she run under?
Well, Arne Arneson, I don't know what her real name is. What's her
Deborah.
Real name? Deborah. And then she put in quotes, like you would do... your first name, Ian, and then whatever, none of the above, blah, blah, last name. Is that what you were proposing, or just totally your
my
pseudonym?
My name that I was running as was Ian Nobody Bernard, which is, you know, my old name, but the
I think if you put it in quotes, and that's how everybody refers to you, Ian, if everybody said, hi, nobody, I don't know. Obviously, I'm not a lawyer.
Yeah,
so.
And I
that might be worth...
I don't know. I mean, Patty must know Patty knows the rules better than anybody I've ever seen, but I don't know.
Actually, she had the assistant city attorney standing there kind of giving her the details on what the laws say, and they say that if you don't have a nickname for 5 years, then that's not good enough. What if I waited 5 years and then came back and did this? And they said, well, then we disqualify because it's a slogan. So there's no way for me to get on the ballot with nobody as my nickname. So I guess there's so far at this point, unless Rick Blood gets into the election, it looks like Dale Pregent's going to be unopposed.
So does that mean you're not running?
They've disqualified me from the ballot, and they're going to unregister me to vote.
Oh dear. Well.
And they're going to unregister everybody else that has registered at the UPS store address on Central Square.
Huh.
Is there a reason other than just testing the system that you didn't want to give your address? Was there some?
Oh, I'd actually had my former voter's registration, I'd actually used that address. Mm-hmm. But then I wanted to change it just because, you know, I just felt like having my mailbox there at the address and would just rather certify that I live in that ward. And I figured if a homeless person can do it, I should be able to do it too. But guess they don't want to apply their rules equally to people, so... What can you do, right? They're in charge, and it's their system, so I'll just have to be out this time around, and maybe I'll go through the process legally to change my legal name to Nobody, and then come back around and see how that works in another 2 years.
Well, is it worth it to you to do Ian, and...
just go as Ian, not Freeman, but Bernard?
I thought about that, but I really want to run a message campaign because I don't want people to think that I'm actually going to take office. I'm not interested in that. You know, the purpose of the campaign is to be nobody, so if nobody wins, then nobody goes in.
No, but then what they would do is have a special... Then it'd be worse. You know why, Ian?
Why?
Because then the city council may get to a point. I don't know what they do with the mayor's slot.
You know what you do if you were, if you guys, and I know it won't be you, Paula, but if the city council was appointing someone, then they would be denying the will of the voters because the voters in that case would have made it very explicit, we don't want a mayor. We voted for nobody. So then they would be going against that, which, you know, they might very well do, but it would be kind of sad.
No, but I know in councils, like if there's a vacancy, If for whatever reason the council has, then it's eight people that can decide,
right?
Sure,
because you only need a majority, so that could be
a
worse situation.
You're not obligated.
And when the mayor is absent, they also get to vote.
Yeah, on which councilor would fill in. So then you'd have horrors of horrors, 15 people decide.
Got to take another phone call, Ian, but think about it.
Well, guys, you have a nice morning.
Thank
you.
Bye bye.